reverse those. You're going to do the opposite. When I say walk, I want you to stop. When I say stop, I want you to walk. Okay? Got that? Okay? Stop. Walk. Stop. Walk. Okay. We're going to add another thing to that. Okay? We are going to, this time, you're going to keep that opposite going. Okay? This time, when I say name, I want you just to call out your name. Okay? Just your first name. Okay? Got that? Okay. I also want you to, I'm kind of throwing this other thing in here, kind of speed things up a little bit. Also, when I say the word clap, I want you just to clap your hands. Okay? Got that. All right. Stop. Name.
Tasha.
Clap. Walk. Walk. Okay, name.
Name.
Clap. Stop. Name. Clap. Stop. Walk. Okay, this time we're going to keep the same four things going, but this time when I say name, I want you to clap. And when I say clap, I want you to say your name. You got it. Okay, here we go. Name. Stop. Name. Stop. Name. Walk. Okay. Great. Y'all are doing great. Okay, we're going to do two more. We're going to see how smart you are. Okay? We've got stop and walk opposites, name and clap opposites. This time, if I say jump, I want you to jump, okay? If I say twirl, I'm going to say twirl instead of turn around because it's less words, okay? So twirl is just turn around, okay? All right. Got it?
See when it's twirl.
Okay. Name. Clap. Jump. Turn around or twirl. Stop.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Walk. Jump. Turn around. Flap.
Snack Elena.
Okay, here we go. Let's go stop. Jump. Turn around. Flap. Okay, stop. Walk. Okay, this time we're going to do the opposite of, you got it. The opposite of everything, right. The opposite of jump would be?
Twirl.
Twirl. And twirl would be?
Jump.
Okay, you guys can do it all?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Jump. Clap. Stop. Jump. Name. Jump. Walk. Stop. Name. Clap. Jump. Walk. Okay, all right, give yourself a hand. Okay, now don't sit down just yet. There's more. Okay, now turn around. Find somebody close to you and ask them if they would partner up with you for this next little activity.
Can you partner with your husband?
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I'm going to give you a little test. And on this sheet of paper, I have some statements about boys and girls. What you have to decide is if the statement best describes girls or best describes boys. But you and your partner have to decide. You have to agree. Okay, does everybody have a partner?
Can you do three?
Yeah, you can do three. Unless you
have to do
three. Okay. Good. Okay. So Amy's going to help me pass these out. Everybody can have one. And as soon as you get one, you can start. Okay, just your first gut instinct. Spend a long time thinking about it.
I'd probably be a girl. You know I do this quite often, but what this does is it helps to get your brain thinking about the topic for the season. And as I talk about certain things, your brain will be triggered to think, I did read that somewhere. So hopefully when we get through, you will know whether you got them right or wrong. Okay, we do know that boys and girls do learn differently. I'm sure that is nothing new to you. If you have been working with fours and fives, right? Fours, fives, kindergarten, that's right. This is this audience. If you have been around boys and girls,
for any length of time, you know this, I am sure. Right?
Right.
Okay. If I were to ask you to think about the child in your classrooms that give you the most challenge, I want you to think about that child. I want you to picture that child's face. Okay? Visualize. Got it? Got it?
No, I know who you're thinking about.
If that child that gives you most challenge is a boy, I want you to stand up. Okay, look around you. You have once again proved a statistic. You can go ahead and sit down. But you have proved a national statistic that says that the children that teachers, whether it's a whatever setting, that teachers deem the most challenging are boys. And I'm going to be talking about boys and girls both this evening, but you will probably hear me talking more about boys because that tends to be the gender that we kind of understand the least about how they learn, especially those of us who are female teaching those boys. Thank goodness we have all these men in here. Because men understand it a little bit differently because they are one. Okay? So, boys and girls do learn differently. God created us different, created male and female. It says that in the Bible, so I believe that wholeheartedly because I don't think God would have taken time to do it or to put it in the Bible if he didn't think it was so. And so it is the differences between boys and girls that really dictate different behaviors. Boys and girls come from the womb with different brains. From the very beginning, actually even before birth, and I'll talk about that as we go through a little bit this evening. One of the things that we have to understand is that boys and girls both come into the world with core questions that they need answered as they grow and as they develop. And those core questions for boys are things like, do I matter? Am I the real deal? Meaning, am I the real deal and do I have what it takes to be a man? Little boys don't come into the world knowing what it's like to be a man. They don't know what that means. So they go on the quest for trying to determine that. The number one need for boys is to have respect. And little boys start to learn about whether or not they get respect when people notice, especially the important people in his life, notice things that he does. Does he jump the highest? Does he run the fastest? Can he get to the door first? All those kinds of things. Sound like any little boys in your classroom. Okay? When you recognize those kinds of things and say, I saw how fast you ran. Have you ever noticed maybe just little boys around the church? They just want to see if they can get to the door first, right? It's a sense of a competition, but it's not real deep in competition. They just have that need. There's a superhero in every little boy, or the need to be a superhero. Okay? Now, when we're talking about this, what we do have to talk about, if I don't break my other leg, is that boys are born on a continuum, okay? There are boys that we label as those rough and tumble type of behavior, you know those kind? The aggressive, risk-taking, all those. But on the other continuum are those boys that are sensitive, have more of a sensitive nature. They're both boys, they're just at different places on the continuum. And they need to be recognized for whatever their gene pool is giving them because that's what God gave them. Okay? All right. Same way with the little girls. We have those girls who are the more girly princess type and then the girls who are more the athletic rough type. They're still on that They're still girls, but they're just at different places on this continuum. Well, little boys, number one, needs respect, and they need to be noticed for their performance, what they can do, especially when they're like at the age where that you are teaching. Little girls, on the other hand, have the core questions of, do you see me? Am I lovely? Don't you have those little girls who come into your classroom, and what did they do?
My dress.
Who said that?
Me.
Do you see my new dress? I have a new scarf.
My new shoes.
My new shoes. They have a desire for you to notice that, okay? And little girls do this a whole lot. Right? They need you to notice that they can twirl around and be a little prissy and all those kinds of things, okay? Because they have that more prissy, not prissy, princess tendency. Their main question, though, is, am I loved? They have this deep need to know that they are loved. That is their number one need. Because you see, their number one need of being loved, when they feel that, then they also feel respected. Okay? Boys, when they feel respected, feel loved. Respect is equal to love for them. So it's just kind of the opposite for boys and girls. Okay. Dr. Dobson, in his book, Bringing Up Girls, says that this need for girls to know that I am loved is one of the things that makes them very easily manipulated when they get into preteens and teens, can be easily manipulated by boys and men who don't have the best intentions. Okay? So it's very important that they begin to get this real sense of being loved when they're little. Okay? I just have to show you this picture because this is my great niece and my great nephew that belong to my niece. This is Andrew and Caroline. And my niece sent me this picture because she said, I know you do this boy and girl thing, and she said, you just gotta have this picture. I knew they are the book example, textbook example of the differences between boys and girls. One morning they decided that they were going to get up and get their own breakfast. My niece was still asleep. They get up and they get dressed. Andrew in his superhero outfit and Caroline in her princess. For about a whole year, when Caroline was between 2 and 3 years of age, she wore this princess outfit almost every day.
Oh my gosh. Nice.
I went to see her one time when I was in Dallas. She met me at the door in her princess outfit, and my niece said, I am so sorry. She said she won't take this. I said, it's okay, Megan, I understand. But it's just a perfect example. No prompting. No, you've got to put this on. This is it. That's the difference. It's just a picture of the differences between boys and girls. But, you know, really this is actually no news. Back in Aristotle's days, Aristotle said, we need to recognize that there are basic differences between males and females and provide different kinds of experiences for each. See, our difficulty is that we put children in a classroom. We put these fours and fives in a classroom. We plan these activities, and we expect them to all kind of do them the same way or maybe have the same outcome. But they don't learn the same ways, and they're not processing information in the same way because everybody has a different brain. And girls process differently than boys, and we're going to talk about that. Okay, so that was even back in Aristotle days. Well, Dr. Leonard Sachs, who has done a lot of research in this area, has said that there are no differences in what boys and girls can learn. Okay, they can learn the same things, but there are big differences in the best ways to teach them. Okay? All right, this is just a picture of the brain. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about this. I just want you to kind of get the image of what a brain looks like. Yours is not that particular color inside your head. But this kind of helps you know where these are the four lobes of the brain, and this is an area of the brain called the cerebellum that has to do with what? Does anybody know? Those of you from yesterday? What?
Balance and movement.
Balance and movement. Motor coordination, that kind of thing. Okay. I do want to mention the frontal lobe because it becomes important later on. The frontal lobe is the part of the brain that has to do with higher level thinking, abstract thinking, reasoning, self-control, self-impulse. It does not fully mature until about age 25. So when we ask boys and girls to have self-control and control impulses and all of that when they're very young, it's hard for them because that's where it takes place and that part of the brain is very immature. Okay. Here's just the inside of the brain. Some other important parts. I'm just going to mention parts like the amygdala because it's going to be important in just a moment. And that, of course, is the prefrontal cortex. This is the hippocampus. And that's the part of the brain that takes in factual information and stores it until it can be filed in memory. Okay? It'll be important later on. Okay. There are two hemispheres, two sides of the brain, left and right. The left side of the brain has to do with the logical, language, sequence kinds of tasks. And that side of the brain is better developed in whom? Can you read it up there?
Girls.
The right side of the brain is more of your big picture part of the brain. That processes the big picture, processes spatial information, and what that simply means is it processes information about where you are in space, how you move around, all those kinds of things, okay? What's going on around you, all of that. And it is better developed in
boys,
okay? So left hemisphere is better developed in
girls.
Right hemisphere is better developed in
boys.
Very good. All right. We are going to look at the differences in the brain by doing this little acrostic. And I have a sheet for you, Amy, if you want to. You can do it on your paper, but I do have a sheet for you that has this acrostic on it. We're going to go ahead and get each one identified, and then we'll go through each one quickly. And this acrostic spells what word?
Shape.
Very good. Yay. Okay, the S stands for size, just simply the size of the brain itself. Okay, we're going to talk about that because there's differences. H stands for the hormonal influences. That's no surprise, I bet. The A stands for activity. That just simply means the type of activity that's going on inside the brain all the time. And the P is for the pace of maturation, or that means at the rate that the brain develops or matures, actually. And the E stands for the emotional system of brain. What is the differences between the emotional systems of the brains between boys and girls? Okay, are we good with that? If we are, say yes!
Yes! Yes.
Okay. All right. S stands for size of the brain. A boy's brain is 10 to 15% larger. And that's usually due to the fact that boy babies, are bigger when they're born. So that just would naturally make their brains a little bit larger just physically. Okay? So it's about 10 to 15% larger. A boy's brain has more brain cells. Just the number of cells that are in the brain, even though we're all born with about 100 billion, you know, the boy's brain tends to have
few more brain cells. A girl's brain has more connections between the cells. Okay? And why that is the case is the boy's brain is larger, it has more cells, so it has more room for those cells to spread out. Okay? Girl's brain is a little bit smaller, so therefore, when the brain cells start to connect together, then that means that there's really more need for them to connect together, so there's just more connection between those cells. Okay? Everybody got that? Okay. So there's just simply difference in the size. H stands for hormonal influences, and this is where it gets really interesting. At about 6 to 7 weeks after conception, the male embryo, the embryo that's marked to be a male, takes a bath in testosterone. It's just triggered to do that. That's a God thing, okay? When that embryo takes that bath in testosterone, the brain of that embryo is altered. It's changed. And it's changed forever. What happens at that point is that parts of the brain that would be devoted to language get killed off. Not all of them, but just a portion of them. But what happens also is that in that place where some of those language cells get killed off, it has more space in the brain in males for that spatial development. So that's one reason that that right brain is more developed in the area of spatial understanding. Okay, girls, on the other hand, get about 20 to 30% more of the chemical or the hormone known as serotonin. Anybody know what serotonin is? Serotonin is the calming hormone. So females are born with more of that serotonin, just to start with. Okay? All right. So, but it's this bath that the embryo takes in testosterone that gives boys their aggressive, risk-taking, what we call boy energy characteristics. Anybody have any light bulbs going off? It's a God thing, okay? When those little boys are so active and they're doing all those aggressive kinds of things and, you know, it's just a natural kind of thing. It's God-wired. But what we spend our time doing, many of us, especially females, is what?
Trying to unplug it.
I love that. Yes. What I like to say is, when women are pregnant, they can't wait to feel that baby move in utero, because when you feel it move and it's so exciting, well, if that baby ends up being a boy, we spend the rest of the time telling them to be still. Right? We spend the rest of the time trying to beat that out of them. Hopefully not literally, but right. Instead of knowing how to take advantage of that God-given characteristic and working with it. Oh, gosh. All right. So we're down to activity. Girls have more blood flow in their brain going on at any given time more than boys. That means because there's more blood flow going through the brain at any given time, they have more brain activity, about 15 to 20% more brain activity. But boys' activity, and that seems to be overall the brain, the boy's brain activity, however, tends to be more localized, meaning that when they are involved in an activity or doing a task, they are using more than just one part of their brain at a time. Girls, on the other hand, would do that same task using more of their brain. For example, if we had a boy and a girl and they were putting the same puzzle together, we took an image of their brain, they would be doing the same activity but using different parts of their brain. But that means that they are processing that information differently. They have the same task to do, but they're doing it differently as the processing part of their brain does. And is that not awesome? Is that not a God thing? Okay? All right. Because boys do their work in more like one area of the brain at a time, when you get ready to transition from one activity to the next, it takes boys a little longer to disengage from that activity and move to another. Do you find that true with boys? This is why. They're not really trying to make your life miserable. It just takes them longer to disengage from that very localized part of the brain that they're using and be able to move forward. Okay? They don't have as much blood flow going. Okay? So again, that takes them a little while longer. The other thing about this is that the brains of boys and men tend to go to sleep quicker than little girls' brains. Boys' brains will go into what's called a rest state quicker than little girls' brains do. Little girls' brains, because of the more blood flow, the more activity, tend to stay more kind of engaged than boys, because when their brains go into kind of a rest state and you ask them what they're thinking about, they will say,
nothing.
Exactly right.
Not thinking right now.
Good. See, and I have guys tell me that all the time when I say that. They will say, yeah. Would you just tell my wife when I tell her I'm not thinking about anything, I'm really not thinking about anything? So is that right, guys?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So just be aware of that when we're talking to little boys about, you know, when they're trying to get them in and they say, I don't know. They probably don't, because their brain's kind of gone into a rest state, which means you have to wake it up. And how do we wake it up, for some of you who've heard me speak before? How do we wake it up? Movement. Get him up, move, march, whatever.
Poke him in the rib.
Maybe something a little awesome. But get him up, move him. Okay, all right. So we've got S, what was S? H? A?
Activity.
Okay, now what's our P?
Okay.
Oh, forgot this part. Okay, boys are more action-oriented. You know that. They like things with action. That's why they draw pictures with action. They like books with action. Girls are process-oriented. Their pictures have houses, flowers, and all that kind of good stuff. Boys' pictures have airplanes, bombs, all those kinds of things. Okay? That's just the way their brain is processing. But so many times we tell those little boys, don't draw that. Or why did you draw that? Or why did you make that gun with those blocks? Because boys are going to do that. I don't care what you say to them. They are going to do those things, most of them, that are going to be, this is a gun, this is a sword. It's God-given.
This is a shield.
Exactly right. That's how they are programmed. Okay? And I've been guilty of this because I'm part of that school where we used to say, don't let little kids make things with those blocks. It's like a gun or whatever. And so we would say, no, we don't do that. So all we did was make them feel guilty and frustrate them, because that's who they are. Now, not that we're going to let them take that and hit some kid over the head and all those kind of, I'm not talking about that. But within what is appropriate, that's who God made them to be. Okay. Female brain goes faster. When the brain is triggered to grow in utero, the female brain or the female fetus their brain is triggered to grow before the male brain is triggered to grow, okay? So at the end of 9 months, whose brain at birth is going to be a more mature?
Girls.
So girls' brains are, they're born with a brain that's a little bit more mature than that of a boy's. Now they're still all immature, okay? But it does grow faster. Therefore, the female brain processes information faster, again, because it has more blood flow. So that's why your little girls tend to be able to answer questions and things like that before your little boys. Who usually has the answer to a question first? Good. Okay. Good point. Thank you for saying that. You have mostly boys, right? How many girls?
Well, if we have 20 kids, we'll have maybe 2 girls.
Okay. Great point. Okay. Boys will tend to answer more quickly when they're in a group of all boys where they don't feel as threatened by the female appearance. Because it just automatically, boys learn quickly that more than likely, most of the time, if they're in a situation where somebody's got to do something or do a task and, you know, somebody's going to have to answer a question, that they learn quickly that most of the time the girls will get it before the boys. So they learn very quickly to be, they get demotivated and think, why should I bother? Girls are going to get it first, so why should I bother to even try to answer? Because if I get it wrong, I might be embarrassed, and so I don't want to do that. Because remember, they get the answer to that core question based up on their performance. But if they're in a group of boys, mainly boys, they feel more confident is actually what it is. Okay? So, if you have a group, a mix of boys and girls, give the boys time to answer. Or, more than that, have them, since you do fours and fives, you can easily do this. Put them in pairs, but put boys to boys and girls to girls, and let them talk to each other. Like if you ask them a question about this Bible story, say, turn to your partner after you pair them up and say, tell your friend what the answer is. And you listen, and you see if it's right or not, and then if they don't get it quite right, because the brain didn't get everything right the first time, you have an opportunity to say, you know, let's rethink that. Or, you know, what did somebody say? Or you have an opportunity then to kind of get them back on where you want them to be without saying, no, that's wrong. Okay. All right. There's 1 to 1.5 years difference in language development. This is the other reason why little boys are sometimes apprehensive about wanting to participate or to answer. Girls have more vocabulary, but they're about a year and a half difference in the language development. That means that they're about a year and a half ahead in reading ability, and this continues throughout the elementary years. But yet we put them all in the same classroom like in school or even in our churches, and we want them all to be on the same page when it comes to like reading, writing, all those kinds of things. Okay? But the good news is the male brain develops spatial memory about 4 years ahead of the girls. This is why the male brain of the males really like playing with blocks, Legos, anything like that that will help them learn about spatial awareness. This is why they like to have more space. They need more space to do their work. If you have blocks in your room and the boys play in the block area, what do they like?
Spread it out.
They like all of that space. It's just who they are.
But the little girls come over and do what? They want to knock it all down, or let's straighten it all up. Okay? A good solution to that is have boy time in the block area and girl time in the block area. Okay? Maybe you have a block Sunday for boys or a block Sunday for girls. And then after they have some time apart, when you bring them back together, they play together much better in that area. But they do need space. They like more space. Why, when you sit in group time, who gives you usually the most problems with
boys?
You know why? They need space. When you get them closed in, they immediately, their amygdala part of their brain immediately fires up and they go, I'm threatened. No. And they start that. Or the fidgeting. Okay. Fidgeting can be because they don't have enough energy in the brain. But so a good solution to that is if you want to do sections on your carpet or spread the chairs apart, whatever enough so that you have them to have enough space that they do not feel threatened. Okay? Because they just don't like it. Okay? It's like my husband's office at our house. I have a little room in our house because of my job. I work from my house. I work in my pajamas every day. It's so nice. But I have a nice office, but it's not huge. Well, we moved in this house. My husband gave me this office because I was doing my work from home and all that kind of stuff. Well, we have a bedroom. It has a little sitting room off the side of the bedroom. And he first started his little office in another little bedroom we had. But he decided that wasn't enough space. So he moved all of his stuff into our sitting room, which is probably, it's a good-sized sitting room. I had all these plans for this sitting room. It was going to look so nice. You know what it looks like now? Here's my husband's desk. Here's my husband's little nice kind of round kind of conference office table thing. Over here is a shelf that has all these books on the shelf. And over here is another shelf. So it's everywhere. But I just go up there and look and go, okay, I know why. And he does so much for me, I can't complain. So I only complain at conferences. But I do. I look at it and go, okay, I really want this, but I know why. I don't complain. Okay. The E is for emotional systems. The boy's brain has a larger amygdala. Remember that amygdala I showed you on the brain earlier? The amygdala is the primary part of the emotional part of the brain. Okay? The amygdala is the alert system of the brain. It's what alerts us to anything that might be a danger for us. It's also that part that processes our emotions, assigns our emotions to our experiences. Okay? So the boy's brain has a larger amygdala, meaning that during the preschool years, your boys will cry more and cry more intensely than little girls. Okay? Because this whole emotional system is it's so much more immature. Okay? Still, it's a very immature brain, okay? And of course, their areas of self-control, meaning this part of the brain right here, are slower to develop as well. Okay, that's a lot of information in a lot short amount of time. So, let me see here. Okay, stand up. Get hot in here. Anybody with me?
Yes.
Oh, wait.
That's why I wear layers.
I don't think I can do that.
It's usually coming.
Okay. You have sat longer than I normally like to let people sit, and you've had a lot of information. Okay? I would like for you to just reach up and do a little stretch. Get a little blood. Okay? All right. Now, I want you to turn to the person sitting around you, behind you, possibly, maybe somebody that's not right next to you. And I want you to tell them what each of these letters stands for, S-H-A-P-E, okay? But try to do it without looking at your paper first, okay? All right, okay. Causes the sides of the brain to talk to each other. There's a thicker corpus callosum in girls, which means that both sides of their brain work better together. That's another reason for some of the differences that we've talked about. The cerebellum is stronger, which means that little girls have better motor development when they're younger, as they're in preschool years, but that switches when they get to elementary years, okay? The hippocampus is the part of the brain that stores factual information. Like right now, your hippocampus is getting really full because I'm telling you all this stuff, and you haven't had time to process it, so it's getting really full. The hippocampus in girls acts like Velcro, means when girls hear information, it sticks better, quicker. Little boys, it's like Teflon. What does Teflon do? It just kind of slides off, okay? But the thing about the hippocampus is that it doesn't function really well in children until, in girls it doesn't start to function until about age three. In boys it doesn't really function until about 3.5 or 4. So that means when you get into a lot of factual information, it's going to be hard for boys and girls to remember a lot of that. That's why they always, when you think you've told them, but then they forget. They actually didn't forget, they just didn't remember. Their working memory and all that's not working, okay? The other thing is that the temporal lobes right here have to do with hearing. Girls are more sensitive to noise, especially the higher pitch noises. That's why your little girls are more bothered by all that noise going on in your classroom. And the girls will come up to you and say, "What? Those boys over there are too loud." Because they just hear, they have a more sensitivity. Boys have a dominant ear. They usually hear better out of one ear than the other. And if you watch boys when you talk to them, because they don't really like a lot of eye contact anyway, but when you talk to them, they will turn to one side so they can hear you better, whichever is their dominant ear. More times than not, it's their right ear, but not always. So I challenge you, next time you talk to little boys, watch them. And you will think they just don't want to look you in the eye. My youngest son used to do this to me when he was little, and he was strong-willed anyway, and I'd grab that chin and go, "Jonathan," and he would go, "Mom, don't do that." It bothered him so much, and of course I was not smart enough then to know what was going on. He still does it, because I don't grab his chin now, he's 37, he's not then. But when I talk to both of my sons these days, I still notice, Jonathan especially. Okay? So just watch that. Their occipital lobes, girls see better close up. That's why they are able to learn to read quicker. One of the reasons, there's lots of reasons, but language and all that. But girls can see better close up sooner than boys.
So when you ask girls to learn to read, it's easier for them because they've already got the visual system in place for it. Boys do not. But we put all kids in kindergarten and first grade and say, read this. And when boys don't read that, we label them as?
Slow.
And they're active, so we just put that ADHD label on them. Okay? When it may not be ADHD, it may just be that their brain is not developed to the point where they're able to have that self-control, which we talked about with the weekday teachers yesterday. Okay? Boys see better at a distance. That's why. And they see better peripherally, spatial, remember? I could be looking right here, and if there was something going on in that corner, I guarantee you most boys would know what was going on up there. Right? Because they can sense that. Okay. All right. This is a quote from John Eldridge's book called called Wild at Heart. And it says, we need to give up making young men good boys, which we always say to boys, right? Good boys, whatever that is. And recognize that boys were created with a desperate battle, need for a battle to fight, an adventure to live, and a beauty to rescue. So my challenge to you is, hopefully this has created an awareness for you that there are differences in the way they learn. I have a whole sheet I would like to be able to do with you that has some things you can do, but we don't quite have time to do it. So what I would like to do is just quickly let you fill in these blanks. And I'll comment on one or two of them quickly. Hey, how many of you have learned something you didn't know before? How many of you have learned something that you think will help you in your classroom? Okay. What I want you to start thinking is, what is just one or two things that you will do differently or can do differently as you think about this information? Okay? Also, as you leave, but so I don't forget, is I have a chart here. It's 13 brain-based differences in boys and girls you need to know. So this is just kind of a chart that summarizes some of the things that I've talked to that you can kind of use as a reference. Okay. Gender-friendly strategies is that the first thing you need to do is kind of evaluate your classroom. Evaluate space, how much space you're giving to maybe those activities boys really like, what's your noise level, what's the temperature, believe it or not. Boys like to have temperatures that are
colder.
It'd be nice, a little colder in here. Okay. The schedule, by that I mean think about how much time you might have little boys that have to wait. Or they have to be still. This is good for little girls too, but it's harder on little boys when they have to wait to do this or wait to do that. So while they are waiting, take advantage of this number two that says use rather than stifle that boy energy. And you can do that by, if you're waiting to go to the bathroom or if you're waiting to wash your hands or if you're waiting to do something, just have them just stand and march in line or just stand and march, turn around, any of those kinds of things. Anything besides just standing still or sitting in a chair. Let little boys do their work standing at tables rather than sitting. Because when they're sitting at tables, what do you spend your time doing?
Sit down.
Sitting is hard for boys and girls. Take those chairs away from the table. Let them stand at the table to do puzzles, to paint, whatever. They will be much happier and so will you. Try that. Okay? If you need to clean up the room, there's paper that needs to be picked up. Put the trash can in the middle of the room. Wad up the paper and let them throw it in the trash can. Little boys that you have trouble with not keeping engaged, give them something heavy to lift. Good for girls too, but your boys especially, give them something heavy to pick up, or as we did yesterday in the weekday thing, let them hold up the wall. Push. Try it. Next time you have a little boy and you don't know what to do with him, he's kind of going crazy, just say,
Come with me. We need to hold up this wall and have them push with all their might. Or we take back up against it and push. Anything that's going to engage those muscles and give them something heavy to do. I promise you, it'll work. But you have to keep it consistent. Okay. Number three, offer flexible seating arrangements or options. I just talked about that. On the floor, standing up at tables, basically almost anything except sitting at tables. But then if they get to do this, when they do, you do need them to sit at a table, they're more likely to be able to do it. Okay? Manage girl, boy and girl behavior differently. I wish I had more time here. What this simply means is when you have to talk with a little boy about behavior or whatever, he's in trouble, first of all, don't sit him down because he didn't like that. Feels threatened. Take that little boy by the hand if he'll let you and just go get a drink of water because there's lots of stress in the brain when you're upset and it has cortisol. Drinking water will lower the cortisol levels in your brain when you're stressed. So get a drink of water and take a walk. And then just take a walk and start talking about whatever it was. And do a time in and not a time out. There's a lot of research lately on the idea of time in, which means that when you really need to talk with any child, sit down with them. And then just talk about what the conversation is. And you're just having what's called a time in. You're just kind of checking things out. See what's happening. Okay? Boys don't like, as I said, don't like to look eye to eye, so sit side by side, not face to face. Actually, this lady right here, the reason I put this picture in here, is actually doing it wrong. She should be sitting more side to side. Okay. And give and repeat directions one at a time. They don't have a lot of working memory in their hippocampus, remember? Hippocampus, can't remember, can't store it. So give them one direction at a time and then have them repeat it back to you. Go get the crayons on the counter. Richard, what did I ask you to do?
Go get the crayon on the counter.
Okay. See, I told him one thing, he repeated it back so then his brain had time to process that. Instead of saying, Richard, would you go get those crayons and take them and put them in the counter or in the cabinet, and then would you come back up here and have a seat? All they're going to remember, if you're lucky, is that you said have a seat. So, okay. All right, one last quote and we're gone. The Creator made not one sex of two, each beautifully crafted to fit with and meet the needs of the other. Any effort to teach children differently is certain to produce turmoil in the soul of a child. And I don't want to create turmoil in the soul of any child, especially when we're teaching in the church. Because, see, they're getting their first impression of church, God, Jesus, all of that from you. And a traumatic experience at church can be something they will remember the rest of their life. But a good experience, as Ben was talking about earlier, can be something they will remember for the rest of their life with a very positive feeling. All right. Answers to your, I'm going to give you that. Okay, look at your list of boys and girls. And let's see. Let me see. Can I see your... because I don't know if I have the right thing when you do.
If you don't look at the answers.
Okay. Hear quieter and higher pitched noises. Sounds better?
Sure.
Areas responsible for self-control are slower?
Boys.
Have better communications between both sides of the brain?
Girls.
Need more space?
Boys.
Are more likely to see visual clues to learn and remember information?
Girls.
That's boys, actually. We didn't get a chance to talk about that. Have a greater need for movement because of higher levels in the spinal fluid and the cerebellum.
Boys.
React intensely and take longer to process. Emotional.
Boys.
Brains more easily go into a rest state.
Boys.
Do not move as quickly between tasks.
Boys.
Are better at detecting motion.
Boys.
Boys.
Need face-to-face emotional connections?
Girls.
No, that's boys.
Need face-to-face emotional connections?
As they are in, as they, no, you're right, I'm sorry. I was thinking of something else. Are typically 1 and 1.5 years ahead in reading?
Girls.
Are 4 years ahead in spatial memory?
Boys.
Need healthy competition?
Boys.
See how smart you are? All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Y'all make sure you signed in when you came in here. If you didn't sign in, please sign in.
And there's snacks out the hallway.
So my little boy is 2.5, and we're working on no. He's saying no, and I rarely tell him no. It's like, I mean, like, he knows the meaning of it for sure, but I don't, like, he tells me no all the time. It's like, what?
Because Scuffy's wanted to say the word no.
Because I usually say, I don't think so. Like, let's do this. Or you know, he's like, can I have some? Like, Mom, I want candy. It's like, okay, after dinner. Like, I'm not like, no, not now. It's like, after dinner, then you can have it. No. But anyways, like, is there a way to redirect them whenever he's saying no?
Well, when he's saying that, you could give him another choice and just to say no. Say, you cannot have this, but you can play with this ball. If you don't want him to eat, just redirect him to another activity instead of just...
Because I've been saying you don't tell Mama no. Like, you have, you know, you need to obey. But...
I mean, that's
not bad. I think
it's
becoming habitual, whatever you said.
Yeah, habitual, the brain habituates to it. No is just one of those words that they hear, whether you say it a lot or not, it's just kind of everywhere, so you don't know exactly where they pick that up. So they're just naturally going to say that. Plus, that is also the stage in their life when they're beginning to develop that whole sense of self, that I am a separate person.
Right.
And so that's just kind of part of that. I've got to make my stand.
Yeah. And they know what's yours by declaring mine. And
So that's just kind of part, that's actually a good stage in development, believe it or not. But that doesn't mean that you don't need to kind of redirect it.
I was thinking of it as like a respect thing. Like,
it's really not. Okay. I mean, it really is not, unless they're just really mean.
Yeah.
And most children at that age are not.
Right.
It's just their way of declaring their independence and learning who I am and all of those kinds of things. Very rarely at that age.
Yeah, I know.
Willfully disobedient.
Yeah.
They're not at that point yet where they know that.
He's getting there. He's kind of knowing, like, if I just, you know, I don't know. But
and that's the, but that's the learning of cause and effect. And that's also good.
It's challenging. Oh, man. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're getting tired of my questions. I'm sorry. Is their dominant ear usually the same as their dominant hand?
Not necessarily.
I'm wondering.
They say they turn the air on.
Okay,
but I'm not feeling it. So, I said, I'm going to have a call again. Can I get you another water?
Ice for your water, maybe?
I think I'm good.
You're good? Absolutely, yes. Can I have Mr. Eric?
Anything without caffeine.
Okay, a water?
So water, Sprite.
Okay, yeah, I'll see what we have.
That'd be helpful, thank you.
This is a 2-year-old now, right?
Yes, but I'm going to cover some of the
I have more trouble with my 2-year-old. I have a great
name.
And it's
my
in this room.
Oh, okay.
My favorite girl.
Our group time is right here with Mrs. Arthur.
All
right. And I keep forgetting I'm telling because I'm in the other room. Go sit on the green carpet. And they're looking at me.
Where's the green carpet?
Have you seen that comedic presentation on the difference between men's brains and girls' brains?
That
the men have a box and their brain is made up of boxes.
Uh-huh.
And if you want to talk to a man, you get his attention, he takes one box out and he will discuss with you what's in that box. And when he gets through, he puts it away. And so when he's sitting around, he just doesn't have a box around him, too.
Oh, who does that?
You give me your card, I'll send it to you. You'll
find. Gosh.
But he's, the women's brain is a system of wires. And they're all connected to each other. They never stop.
Uh-huh.
It is so funny. But it is really
true.
Yeah.
I don't have any of my cards.
I think you're talking about the men are like waffles, women are like spaghetti.
No, this is a guy who's got a presentation, but it's also very sound.
I think it's out of that same book.
Oh, it may have been.
I have got to.
It is hilarious.
So,
it's also true.
Yeah, he's saying, so it's men are like waffles, women are like spaghetti. And it was, you know, whatever waffle square they're in, they basically have access to the square next to it. And that's about it.
Well, one of his lines is, the man has his favorite box,
uh-huh.
The nothing box.
Nothing in it.
I appreciate it.
All right.
Well, I would love that.
I'll see if I can find it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we're going to see if keeping the door open
helps.
Is it
freezing out in the hallway?
It's like a little mixture going.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll be doing a little fairway.
I didn't have
this
sweater on.
No, it's warm. And I'm wearing my sweatshirt. Yeah. Did you want to cover it?
No.
Okay.
Oh, I do have a joke to tell you. It's my favorite Christmas joke of all time. And, but it's perfect for this discussion. It's now a kid's life. So it's a Christmas story. And you have 3-year-old boys playing with toys, and the parents are watching. And the first boy comes up and says loud enough so that I can hear. He's like, I'm not cold. The second boy comes up, brings his and says, I brought murder. And the third boy brings it and goes, Frank said this.
That's kind of a hard word to keep in your memory.
Right.
Have a rainbow.
Pick a color, any color.
Anyone?
Yeah.
right, Miss Amy, make the call between playing the violin and singing.
I'm
going to
say
violin. Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you. Who lives closest to the church?
Y'all live neighbors. Okay, Miss Alexa. Height.
43rd.
I don't know if you have a spell.
290 43rd.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm
in
the boss.
Yes, I'm the boss. Antoine, which one's closer? Antoine or the boss?
Antoine.
Yes.
Miss Donna.
How about you, Jimmy?
Antoine
and Hammer.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Antoine and Hammer.
No, I'm
just
playing.
Oh, okay. Well, you're happy. All right. Well, congratulations to our
winners. You might be mad, Donna.
Okay, don't fill that out. Give it to Miss Amy. We'll open in a word of prayer, y'all, and we'll get started on our fun evening. Learn about 2-year-old. Very excited about this one. Thank you, Father, for this time, Lord, that you're going to grow us and equip us, Lord, to take that next step with these sweet little 2-year-olds, Lord. We just want to minister to them, and we know that they're so special. You created them that way, and that Ms. Marianne has so much to teach us about the way that their brains work, Lord, and how we can best equip them and serve them to learn more about you. And we just thank you, God, for this time, and ask that you bless it. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Right, and Miss Marianne has been such an amazing speaker to learn all sorts of things about boys and movement, and I'm just like, man, just amazing the complexities of the brain. So Miss Marianne is the director. I'm going to share all of her amazing accomplishments with y'all. She is the executive director of the Texas Baptist Church Weekday Association. She's a freelance writer and editor and a popular seminar leader. She spoke in here 3 years ago, and she came and spoke to the Tuesday Thursday teachers as well yesterday. She holds a bachelor's degree in elementary education and a graduate degree in early childhood education from North Texas State University in Denton, Texas. For 12 years, she was the editor-in-chief in the childhood publishing department at Lifeway Christian Resources in Nashville, Tennessee. And then there she edited preschool Sunday school curriculum and Parent Life magazine and Vacation Bible School resources. Before going to Lifeway, she served as the director of preschool and children's ministry at First Baptist Church, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. She also served as the director of preschool ministries in North Irving Baptist Church in Irving, Texas, and Fielder Road Baptist Church in Arlington, Texas. She's the co-author of the book, Teaching Preschoolers First Steps Towards Faith, and a contributor to the book, Kids Ministry 101. She also wrote the introduction to the Weekday Early Education Curriculum Guide for Pre-K that's published by Lifeway, and numerous articles for Parent Life magazine related to growth and development of children. She has also been the online adjunct professor at Dallas Baptist University. One of Marianne's greatest passions is learning about the development of the brain and how God designed it to learn. She's attended numerous conferences and seminars on brain-related topics, and she can always be found reading a book related to the topic. She and her husband, Lauren, are the parents of 2 adult sons and enjoy spending time with them and their 2 daughters-in-law. And they attend Sunset Canyon Baptist Church in Austin. So welcome, Miss Marianne.
Okay, I was just out there cooling off because it got really hot in here. And you know, in Austin and in Houston, it's not very long. Very often you can wear your sweaters, and so I thought, I'm going to be cold. So I wore my sweater, and now I'm burning up. So anyway. I'm excited to be here to talk about 2-year-olds, so I'm assuming if you're in this room, you teach 2-year-olds. Is that right?
Yes.
It is? Say yes.
Yes.
Be proud of it. Yes. How many of you find 2-year-olds challenging at times?
Lots of times.
Okay. Well, the title of this session is Why 2s Act the Way They Do. Well, I'm going to talk about that kind of from the standpoint of brain development a little bit, and a little bit of the differences between the brains of boys and girls. Some of the differences that we see in the brains of boys and girls, you don't see as pronounced when they're 2 as you do when they move on to like 3s and 4s and 5s. So I'm not going to go quite into as much detail as I did with the 4s and 5s. But we're going to talk about, with the 2s, the whole idea of their overall development and how they develop in different areas of their growth and development to begin with. And then we'll touch on that a little bit with the brain development. But it is 9:22 or so on Friday night. You've been here since when? 5:30?
7 in the morning.
What time?
7.
This morning?
6:30.
This morning?
This morning.
You need a nap, girl.
Oh, wow.
Your brain needs a nap. I can tell you what your brain needs. It needs a nap. Okay. Because really we need that rest. This is just kind of to the side. We'll talk about that actually with two-year-olds. But your brain needs rest. And we don't give it enough rest at times. Okay. But, as I said, you've been here a good while. You've been sitting. So we're going to move a little bit and wake up your brain. Those of you who've been with me before knew that was coming, right? We can't just, you know, it takes like 7 minutes for your brain to transition from like the session that you were in. What was the session y'all were in earlier?
Music.
Well, you should have moved all over the place for music, did you?
We did. Yeah.
Well, then your brains are ready. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to wake them up just a little bit more. Maybe. If I can find mine. Ah, here it is.
I have too many gadgets, so I lose them. Okay. What I would like for you to do is that in a moment when I say, I want you to stand up. And after you stand up and I start with some music, I want you to go around the room. I want you to walk around the room. And I want you to give every person that you come in contact with a big high five. But when you're doing that, I want you to say, I am whatever you have or you want to fill in that statement. What is your feeling right now? If it's tired, say, I am tired. Or I am sleepy. Or I am excited. Or I am frustrated. Or whatever. Okay?
All above.
All the above. You might say a different one than a different person. Just however you, I want you to just kind of get into to owning. Actually, part of the purpose of this is just for you to kind of own how you're feeling at the moment. Okay? So are we good for that? Okay. All right, stand up. And just start wrapping around. Equal at each of those papers. So if you get there first,
okay? You might can stay there. If you're one of the last ones, I might have to move you, okay? So everybody find a poster. And we'll kind of look and see if we're kind of equally divided. Okay, so we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, oh, we got way too many over there. Okay, what about maybe one or two of you come over here, one or two maybe over there. Okay, somewhere close to your piece of paper is a marker. I think yours is right there on the counter. Yours is right there. Okay.
You need a marker? I'm like,
I need to throw my note.
Okay. I want you to, in your group, make sure you know everybody. Make sure you know everybody's name. Okay, now we need each of your groups.
Okay.
With each of your groups, you need to decide who wants to be your leader of your group.
Oh, no.
Okay, can I have the person that's the leader in each group raise your hand? Okay, we're now in business. Okay, your task is to list as many things as you can think of that describe a two-year-old physically, two-year-old mentally, that means how he thinks, what he's, you know, that kind of thing. Kind of what you know about his language, okay? And this is about how he's social, you know, how he gets along with other men, emotional, how, you know, all that stuff. Okay? All right.
Okay, let's
go.
The
thing about it is, you have a limited amount of time. So you have until I start the music. When I start the music, we're going to move kind of clockwise. This group is going to come to this group. This group's going to move to that group. This group, we're going to move, okay? And then our next go-around, you get to do mental. You get to do the same. So everybody's going to add to the same thing, okay? All right. Okay, so go.
Yeah.
They want them to say, give me something in my cup, tell them not right now, they throw away.
Yeah, throw away.
The push and pull.
Push and pull.
Yeah, they are.
But throwing cup. Throwing cup, et cetera.
Okay, we're gonna move the candidate, but what I want to say here is that you cannot add anything that's already been on the chart, okay?
Right.
All right, it always has to be something different, okay, here we go. You to thinking about some of the characteristics of twos as we think about each of these areas of development. Okay, because we know that boys and girls develop physically, they develop mentally, that means in their thinking, in their language development, and then also in social, emotional, and spiritual. And we didn't put that up there, but we're going to talk about that as a group. So I want you to start to look at the two-year-old as a person that is developing in all of these areas of development, if you're not already begin to thinking that way.
But as we do that, we're going to then also think about the fact that boys and girls are different, right? That's not a surprise to you, right? And boys and girls do learn differently. And we don't see it, as I said, it's pronounced in this kind of age group as we do in, as they get to 3, 4, and 5 and on up, but we do begin to see those kinds of things start to emerge. So it's good to be aware of actually what some of those differences are as we think about the brain, and so I'm going to share some of those with you as much as we have time. Amy has a piece of paper or a handout that actually has a list of some of the characteristics in each of these areas of development. And what I'm giving you is a sheet that has 2-year-old characteristics and then a sheet that has 3-year-old characteristics. Why would I give you a sheet that has 3-year-olds if you teach 2-year-olds? Because they turn 3, right? Well, you have them, right? Now, most of you, when you have your 2-year-olds, they come in as 2s, but they leave as 3s, okay? Some of them come in at 2s and turn 3 pretty quickly after you get them, right? Okay? So we don't we need to be aware of 2-year-old characteristics as much as 3-year-old characteristics as much as we do 2-year-old characteristics. So that's why I gave you a sheet for both of those. Okay, just kind of want you to keep that handy because I'm going to refer to some of those on there as we kind of go through talking about some of these differences. I also want you to look and see if any of the things that you put on your posters or as you were thinking also appear on this sheet. My list is not exhaustive. If I put all the characteristics and all the areas for 2s or 3s, it would be more paper than you to take home with you. So these are just some of the kind of basic kinds of characteristics that we need to kind of look at. Okay, so boys and girls are different. Have you noticed that between 2s? When you have boys that are 2 and girls that are 2? Okay, tell me, just somebody tell me one difference that you've noticed. Okay, somebody else had their hand up.
Yeah, I was just going to say they seem to be quieter and they seem to be more organized in their, whatever their, they have a little more structure and organization when they're doing.
It's a brain thing. Mm-hmm. It's a brain thing. Okay. You will see some things about the brain that I think will help you understand why some of the things that you are seeing, you're seeing. Okay? We know boys and girls are created different. It says that in the Bible, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about that. We're all aware of that. But what I do want you to make you aware of is that boys and girls come into the world with core questions that they want answered. And this really starts from the time that they're born. Those little boys come into the world, and they have this need to have the questions answered. Do I matter? Means am I important? Am I the real deal? Meaning, do I have what it takes to be a man? So those little boys, from almost even before they can walk, start to do things that they want to be noticed for. They want that attention for what they can do. Your little boys, especially at 2 years old, what are some of the physical things that they are doing?
Excuse me, I just...
I like this first one over here on the chart. It just says it all right here. I'm going to tell you in a moment why they have this high energy. Okay? 2 years of age, their brain is doing all types of development. Okay? From birth to age 3, there is just tremendous amount of brain development and brain connections that are taking place.
At age three, the brain is at its peak of activity. The brain will be not as active at any other time in the life of a child than it is at age three. Okay? So that means at two, they're already getting ready. Okay? And at age about two and a half to three, they have more connections in their brain, 2.5 times more connections in their brain between those brain cells than an adult. So every 2-year-old or 2.5-year-old or 3-year-old in your classroom, there are more connections in their brain than there is in yours. Isn't that amazing? But there's just, when we say activity in the brain, what we mean is that there's all this electrical and there's all this fire, because the brain is electrical, and it just fires all the time. There's just all these sparks going on all the time. Okay? So that creates some of that need for high energy. I also see the word, what, loud and fast movers. Brain thing. Okay, but it says, do I have what it takes? And little boys start, even at 2 years of age, jumping off of what?
Anything.
Anything. Okay? That's a physical thing, as well as it's one of those things that they need to be noticed for if they're a little boy. Okay? You don't see girls too often jump off of a table, do you? I mean, they do it, but it's more often your little boys, right? And they want to be noticed for that. And all you need to do is, I just see how high you jumped. Because when they are noticed for what they do, they're noticed for their performance, they're getting an affirmation that, you know, I've got what it takes. I've got what it takes to be a man. Okay? Even though they're very young. Okay. Little girls, on the other hand, their core questions are, do you see me? What do they want you to look at? What? Their shoes. Okay, their shoes, whatever. Their hair. Oh, their what?
Hair bow.
Hair bow, yes. Anything. Do you see me? I'm lovely.
Little dress.
Their little dress. I'm lovely. And but they want to know, am I loved? That's their number one need. Because if they feel loved, they feel respected. Okay, so this starts even at 2 years of age. Because every little girl has some kind of princess. She feels some kind of a princess. Little boys have some part of being a superhero. And you see that starting at very young. Okay? Those 2-year-olds put on the superhero capes and go to town.
Okay.
This is just a picture of my niece. Caroline, actually, right here, is about 2.5. And this is Andrew. They got up one morning, got dressed, got their own breakfast before my niece ever got up, and this is what they dressed like. Perfect picture of the differences between boys and girls. Mm-hmm. It's inwired. It's God-wired.
We just need to recognize that there are basic differences and provide experiences for them. We're going to talk more about that, and that boys and girls can learn the same things, but they learn it in different ways. Okay, I'm not going to talk too much about that right now. These are just the brain, parts of the brain, and I'll mention those in a little bit on some things, but these are the lobes of the brain. This is the cerebellum, has to do with movement. If you put your hand right back here at the base of your skull, kind of, and feel like a bump, you feel it? That's your skull over your cerebellum. The cerebellum, anybody was in my session yesterday? Do you remember what the cerebellum did? No? Other things.
Movement.
The cerebellum is the part of the brain that has to do with movement and motor coordination. In this cerebellum, there's like 40 to 50% of all of your brain cells. This is what is so happening and about birth to three. It's happening other ages too. But there's a whole lot of things happening down here, because that's where the learning to walk,
the learning to run, the learning to jump, all those physical things. This part of the brain right there is being wired for all of those skills. So that is why it's so important for this age group, for those two-year-olds, those three-year-olds, to have an opportunity to be what? Starts with an A.
Active.
Okay? What we do in this age group lots of times is that, especially if they're younger on the younger end of twos, is that we strap them in. What do we strap them into?
Car seats.
Car seats.
High chairs.
Anything we can find to strap them into. By the time the child is age two, he's spent about 350 hours strapped in, which really does affect his physical as well as mental and emotional development. Okay. So, and then I'll talk more about some of those things later. But cerebellum for this age group is very important. You need to keep that in mind. That's why they need... Do you have two-year-olds that still get on the floor and like to crawl? Yeah. Can I tell you why? Yes.
Is there digital strapping in there too, though?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. You mean as far as...
Well, I know an 18-month, I mean, you know, between an 18-month-old, they can already use a tablet.
Oh, absolutely. So that they're, what they're doing is they're not being active.
Correct.
They're being sedentary in one place. So in a sense, that's the... virtual strapped in, I guess you should call it. But when they get addicted to those kinds of things, then they get so mesmerized by them that they don't want to move, I guess I should say. It's very important for this age group, if you have two-year-olds that are still like to get down on the floor and crawl, they need to be able to do that because it develops a part of the brain called the corpus callosum. The corpus callosum, when you have two sides of the brain, that connects both sides of the brain, and it needs to be strengthened during the preschool years. The one way that that corpus callosum is strengthened is anytime you do movement that crosses over the midline of the body. And crawling is the one of the first activities that really helps put that in place. Even though with infants you can do this and this and all that. So if you have two-year-olds that still like to do that, let them do it. Okay? Because it's so good for them. And you can get down on the floor and do it with them. You might plan activities for them to do that kind of movement. Okay? All right. The other activity they need to do is stand on their head. Okay, there's two sides of the brain, as I mentioned. And I'm just going to mention this here because I want you to be aware that the left side of the brain is better developed in girls. And the left hemisphere of the brain is better at logical kinds of things, detail kinds of things, more language and speech, that's where your language and speech is, and it's better developed in girls. This lady back here, and I can't see your name, but...
Miss Eva.
Aurelia?
Aurelia.
Aurelia? What a beautiful name. She was talking about her little girls, about they were more detailed in what? In their pictures, more little organizer.
Even their fine motor is better.
Yes. And it's due to that cerebellum, part of that. So that's why, this is already showing that differentiation between boys and girls. Over here, you have the right hemisphere, and it's better developed in boys, and this is where you have spatial processing, and this has to do with building with blocks, having more space in the room. Over here you said high energy. You notice how little boys like to spread all their toys out everywhere? This is why. They need that more space, and they are about 4 years ahead of girls. Of course, at two, they're not 4 years ahead, but as they move on in development. But they're already showing that development and how much further ahead they are in that development, okay? So now when you see toys all over the space and they want to have all those locks everywhere, then you know that actually you can say their brain is developing, okay? All right. Oh, we're not going to do that right now. Okay. Look on your list of physical things and see if there's anything under that list of physical developments under twos. We'll just kind of stick with the two side. And see if there's anything that you might have a question about or if a comment. The physical and motor development.
How's the bathroom, both of them? Boys and girls?
Who, which are usually potty trained sooner?
Girls.
Girls.
Your girls are potty trained sooner than your boys. That's not to say that boys can't be, but because their physical development of girls is usually ahead of boys, then it usually takes place first.
Does it depend on peers, I mean siblings? Does that have anything to do with
it? It sometimes can because what it says may show an interest in toilet training as early as 18, 24 months, while others aren't ready until 3 or 4. No, that wasn't it. I don't think I ended up putting that one on there. When they see other kids going to the bathroom, they will imitate. But then they've also got to have the physical development to go with that. And your brain actually controls everything you do. Your brain is your CEO. Okay? So your brain is very complex, but it controls everything you do. So there has to be a certain amount of brain development and maturity of the brain in order to even be potty trained. Okay, all right. We're going to look at just some differences in the size of the brains of boys and girls just quickly. Boys' brains are larger, and boys' brains has more cells, but there's more connections in the girls' brain from the very beginning. But the boy's brain is larger because they're usually bigger when they're born, so they just weigh more. Okay. This is what I want to touch on right here, and having to do with hormonal influences when a baby is born. At 6 to 7 weeks after conception, the male embryo takes a testosterone bath. Okay. What that means is that embryo that is going to, has the gene marked to be a male, takes a bath in testosterone, and that bath of testosterone alters the development of the brain. The brain is changed. The structure of the brain is actually changed. And what that means is that if it's a male, a part of the cells that were going to be devoted for language development are killed off. Just wiped out. Okay? So back over here when we talk about language, okay? Usually boys at 2 years of age, I want you to look down into the language part on your paper. And what does it say about the number of words that average two-year-old has?
200
words, okay? That's probably more likely girls that have that many. Boys may or may not, but usually your girls are going to have more words in the vocabulary than boys, right? Okay? And usually girls can speak in like those two or three word sentences. before boys, okay? This is one of the reasons why. The cells in the brain of the boy, that testosterone bath, lose those language cells. But those language cells are replaced with cells that have to do with spatial processing. All that spatial stuff. That's why they like throwing balls through the air. That's why they like building with blocks. That's why they like, part of why they've got to move around in space. Because that is a bigger part of their brain. And they don't have as much space devoted to language. So what that means is that we still need to do a lot of talking to these two-year-olds. But we need to talk in short, complete sentences. Instead of just saying the word ball, we need to say, Donna, this is a ball. Donna has the purple ball. Just very short sentences. That way that's how they learn the sentence structure. If you have the Bible, you talk about that as, this is the Bible. The Bible tells us about God. See, that's a short sentence, okay? We also tend to emphasize certain words when we talk to young children, right? Okay? But it still needs to be in a natural kind of voice. Especially to boys. Because we don't tend to use as many words with boys as we do with girls. Why do you think that is?
I tune out after the fourth word.
You get more input from the girls.
You get more input. Girls will give you that face-to-face, eye-to-eye contact, right? And the boys are where? Okay. I can't. Jessica?
Yes.
Do that. Do you mind doing that? This is what they do. Right? Okay. Why do you think they're doing that?
Trying to find their dominant ear.
Okay. Partly they're doing that is because they are more distracted by the stuff going on around them. Okay? So they've got to check it out. Okay? They've got to check it out. And they don't like a lot of eye contact. So they're just going to naturally be doing all this because they're developing that whole spatial sense of where I am in my whole space stuff. Okay? So that's one of the reasons you have those little boys doing that. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't talk to them or read to them or give them language because they really need those words to be able to increase their vocabulary. I do want to show you a really interesting thing though. Look over on your page to the language development of three-year-olds and see how many words are in their vocabulary. They have 300 to 1,000 words, okay? So starting out as two-year-olds, they have the, what, about 300 words, is it?
200.
200, okay. By the time they got to kind of the end of twos, they're about 300 words in their vocabulary, meaning words that they can say. We're talking about words that they can say. They understand more words, but they cannot speak them, okay? By the time they get toward the end of the third year, they have about 1,000 words. What did I say earlier about the activity going on in the brains of twos and threes?
Highest
peak of activity. If nothing else, the language development really illustrates that. Think how many words. Do you learn 700 words in a year? Do you learn 700 new words in a year? Two and three-year-olds do. Isn't that amazing? And it has to do with them hearing the language. They first of all have got to hear words, but it's just their brain's ability and capability of being able to hear all of those and put it into their vocabulary. Okay? So talk to them about everything that's going on in the room. Now, boys and girls, we are going to... Miss Mary Ann is going to pick up the Bible. The Bible tells us about God. See how I'm kind of describing everything that I'm doing? That gets words out there. And you know, they may not get it the first time, but they're going to keep... You're going to keep doing that so that they hear that and they develop that language. I have to tell you a really quick story, but it's just so apropos. My husband, of course, when I was on church staff, my husband got to teach in any classroom where there weren't teachers. You know, he just had to go wherever I told him to go. And he did it, really. He loved teaching preschoolers. Well, he was teaching an 18-month-old class one year. And he just fell in love with these little 18-month-olds. And, of course, during that 18-month, they turned, what, two? Some of them 2.5. And every Sunday, we had this little girl. And I think she was about right at 2 when she first started coming. And every Sunday, she would come in to the room. And she really wouldn't say much. She would stand, well, you know, like 2-year-olds do. They stand and kind of peruse. Because see, what the brain has to do is decide if this is a safe place. The amygdala part of the brain has to decide if this is a safe place. So she would come and stand, and she wouldn't really cry. She wouldn't cry. And my husband and the other teachers would talk to her and say, "We're so glad you're here." And they always had the Bible on the floor, and it was always open to where the Bible story was for that day. And they would occasionally say, you know, "This is the Bible." That went on probably for, I don't know, a month, 6 weeks, maybe even longer. One Sunday morning, she comes in the door. She stands kind of in her usual spot. And she took her finger and she pointed to the Bible and she said, "Bible." That was the very first word she ever spoke in that classroom, or as far as we know at church, to the teacher. That's been years ago, and I still get chills. Because every Sunday you go through the same thing of going, "This is the Bible. We're so glad you're here. The Bible tells us about Jesus. Jesus loves you." And sometimes you think that there's like nothing going on. Well, remember that the brain of 2-year-olds, 2 to 3-year-olds, has what? 2.5 times the activity as the teacher. And just because they don't have the verbal language to be able to say as much back to you, sometimes we think that they're not learning anything. But that is so not true. Okay, all right. Okay, where was I? I was on the testosterone bath thing, wasn't I? Okay, so this is why girls usually tend to have more language, because they have those more more centers of the brain, or more areas of the brain devoted to language, and the boys have the areas devoted more to what? Spatial information. Okay. Girls also have 20 to 30% more serotonin, and what that is that's the hormone that makes us more calm. Okay? So you won't see girls that most of the time don't have as higher energy as boys. Okay, now you may have some, but you know, we're kind of going typical here. Okay. Activity level, I'm just going to quickly mention some things here. We've already kind of talked about some of these. The girls have more blood flow, so their brains are going to be a little bit more busy. There's going to be activity going on more than, say, in the boys' brain. And you really begin to see this in boys between 2 and 3 because they will do an activity and it will be more processed in just one part of the brain. That's why it's harder to transition those boys from one activity to the other. Do you find it harder for some of those 2-year-old little boys to kind of stop doing one thing and move to the other? What's their behavior when you ask them to do something different than what they're doing? What?
They don't do anything.
No.
They
can't annoy you.
Yeah. No. They don't want to hear it. They're not even hearing you.
No.
Okay.
They look to us, no.
Okay. They like that word no, don't they? They just kind of pick it up and I don't always know where. Okay? Some of that is because it's very hard for them to move from one activity to the other quickly. Okay? Because they're doing that activity in just one part of their brain, they can't disengage that and move to the other one as quickly as girls can. So they need like a warning. Like Jason, we're going to be going outside, or we are going to be. Give them a little warning so that their brain has time to kind of start, okay, leaving there and going someplace else. Okay? We've already talked about this a little bit. The boys are really more action-oriented. The girls are more process-oriented, meaning that they will, you know, like more colors. We actually see more colors than boys do. What colors do most of your boys use if they would have crayons or markers?
Black.
What?
Blue.
Black. Blue.
Red.
Sometimes red.
They're just not concerned about color. If it's a black marker, I just soon draw with a black marker as a red one or a blue one or whatever. They're just not as interested in colors as girls are because girls are just more attuned to the details. And boys just want to get this done. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Girls are more, because they have the more better fine motor. But boys do this because they have that what?
Speech motor.
Okay. They want that action. They want this. They want it to be fast. They want that high energy. Okay? All right. This will also explain some things about boys and girls, and that is that the rate at which the brain really matures is that the girl's brain matures faster than boys, and it's actually a little bit more mature at any given point than the boy's brain. Therefore, they can process information a little bit faster. And here we've already talked about a little bit, but their girls are about typically a year to year and a half difference in language development. Okay? So that means even at about 3, you actually see this a little bit more at about age 3, is that you really see this kind of chasm between boys and girls kind of start to be more evident. Okay. All right. You've been sitting for a while now. It cannot be 10:15. Okay. Well, you've talked about that. All right, I want to touch on this a little bit. The emotional system of the brain, the boy is actually more emotional. Who cries more in your classroom, boys or girls?
Boys.
You know why? Boys have a larger amygdala. That's the major emotional part of the brain. It's larger in boys. It's also more immature. Remember, the brains of boys are less mature than the brains of girls. So if it is less mature, then it's not as capable of processing emotions. So boys from 6 months to 6 years cry more often, and they will cry harder, more intense. It's like, right? And it takes longer to calm them down because they just can't get, they just get all fired up, and that amygdala gets all fired up. And when when the amygdala gets all fired up and really on high alert, it can take as long as an hour for it to come down. And I bet you've had some boys, maybe some girls, when they get all fired up, it takes almost, if you have them just like for an hour on Sunday, does it take almost a whole hour to calm them down? Why? Exactly why. Okay, and of course they're slower to develop self-control. Okay, we're going to kind of stop right there because what I want to do is have you look at the spiritual development of the two-year-old. Oh, before we do that, I want you to look at the social-emotional development of the two-year-old, and I want you to look at number three, where it says separation anxiety increases toward mid-year, but fades by the end of the year. The part of the whole deal with separation anxiety, who usually has more trouble with separation anxiety, boys or girls? Girls? Boys? They both have trouble with it because it's just kind of where they are in their development. But the demonstration of separation anxiety will probably be more intensely with boys because of that amygdala, okay? But separation anxiety is a key milestone in a child's development. You want them to have separation anxiety. You don't want it to last forever. But it's very key because when that happens, what that simply means is that they have learned that they are a separate person from like their parents. And so it's a whole development of who they are. So they learn that they are moving away from. That's like a signal of they're moving away from. And working through that process sometimes can be very difficult. Best thing you do for separation anxiety, because what's happening is their amygdala is up here. In separation anxiety, you just need to give them those loving touches. Assure them that everything is okay. And then give them time for that to calm down. Okay? Like I said, my youngest son had separation anxiety, I thought, for 5 years, it seems like. But he finally worked through it. Okay. Spiritual development. I just want you to notice these are all these concepts that twos can learn. And I know you're probably aware of that, but these are kind of just some of the, these can even be used as little statements that you can use as you're teaching about and talking about the Bible and about God. Because with this age group, that's how we teach spiritual truths, is we teach it to them as they're on the move. Every opportunity that you have to use language with them, you can use these kinds of statements. And these are the basic foundational truths that they need to know. All right. One other handout. And this one is really just kind of for your information. And then I know we have to go. This is a chart that says Windows of Opportunity. And what I want you to see about this chart is there are all, where it says window, these are all of the skills that children need to develop in order to be healthy, emotionally, socially, all those kinds of things. These are things that they need to develop. Under the column where it says wiring opportunity, that means that this is the most receptive time that the brain is ready to develop these. Okay? This is the greatest opportunity for developing, like, trust, The greatest opportunity for developing trust is 0 to 14 months. Okay? Impulse control is 16 to 48 months. And if you go down this list, you will see that most all of these, the greatest opportunity for wiring these was in those first, what? 3 years. Some are 48 months, which is about 4 years. So see what a job you have or what an opportunity you have, because these are all those basic emotional, social, all those kinds of things. And these all lay the foundation for spiritual development. And our spiritual development works right into that. Now over there where it says greatest enhancement, that is the time for strengthening those connections that are made in those first columns. Okay? Now this doesn't mean that if it doesn't happen in that column in those 2 months, that it won't happen. It just means that it takes longer and it's harder. Like it's harder for a child to develop trust if it's not laid in those first 14 months. It can be done, but it just takes longer and it's a little harder to wire. And we know that the development of trust is the foundation for spiritual development. Because young children have to learn trust in people who care for them and who love them, and especially the people at church who love and care for them, before they can put a trust in Jesus Christ. Because that's how they learn all about trust. If they don't know what trust is, they don't know what it means to put trust in Jesus Christ. So that is very foundational, and you play a key role in that. Okay? Thank you so much. I feel like I just throw information to you. Would you just stand up as we get ready to leave? And I want you just to turn around to one person and tell them one thing that you learned in this session that you want to remember as you go back to teach on Sunday, okay? Tell somebody one thing, and then you can, I'll let you out the door. Amy will let you out.
Tell my kids to roll instead of, and crawl instead of run. Is it, we always tell them don't jump off things for obvious reasons. I don't like to ride up that floor, but that's not right, is it?
You know,
yeah,
they're appropriate things to jump off
of. Well, no, I'm just jumping off the pavement, but I don't want to. I
didn't
want it either.
But
okay, well, we did that in the
playground. Just notice that, especially for your little boy. Say, oh, you jumped so high, or... You know, I like how you jumped off of that.
Yeah, you know, and I'm really
good because that builds that.
I do that in the playground because it's okay. You know, you were talking about leaning on the walls. My co-teacher and I, years ago, we had to get them to line up to wash their hands. And so we were saying, hold the wall down. We didn't know we were doing it right. We were just trying to keep them occupied.
But you did it right. That's exactly
right.
It
worked.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very interesting. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Yeah. What I've done in the past, I've packed it up, and then if we get, I get down there. If we get down there in time, it's
okay. Perfect. I'll
good.
Get packed up.
Okay.
Thanks, Mr. Eric. Appreciate it.
No problem at all.
Yeah, thanks for putting up with me, Clyde.
No problem. I'm glad I was sitting where I was, though. Yeah, with all the movement.
I know.
There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, I'm sure that for the people watching, it makes it more interesting.
Well, I just can't stay in one place, so.
I'm going to go check on Blaze and see what.
Oh, I wanted to write down.
Sorry about how warm it was. They called three times. The good news is the hallway was cooler.
It was cooler.
Distracting.
No, I got used to it. But normally, I wouldn't have worn a sweater because I very rarely do that. But
well,
I just thought it was going to be a little cooler. So.
Sure. Well, even with the teacher's app, we opened the door with just why I cracked
it
open.
Is it okay if I well, it's already unplugged, so I guess.
It records.